We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show. Clint Sterner's Football at 4.
Show the Texans got a big-time matchup this weekend. And, it's tomorrow night, my bad, Thursday night, Texans-Panthers. And the Carolina Panthers, no doubt about it, are much better than we expected, but on both sides of the ball. But right now, what I want to do is I want to focus on the defensive side of the football, show. The Carolina Panthers, when you search team defense, just the basic big-picture stats out there. The Carolina Panthers, yards allowed 190 yards per game. They are number one in the NFL in that category. Yeah, right. Well, number one by hell, and number one by 44 yards. Buffalo Bills are second, right? And then you look at sacks, right? And Carolina Panthers, they got 10 of them. Where's that rank them?
Gotta be
number one. Buffalo Bills are right behind them at eight. There's just, and you get into the yards allowed, they're number one in passing yards allowed, right? They're number one in rushing yards allowed. They're number one in points allowed. I mean, so there's no – usually a lot of times you see a defense that's ranked highly like that. They're really good versus a pass and average versus a run, right? And so right now we're two games into the season, very small sample size. So I'm going to pull the Denny Green. If you want to crown their ass, you can crown their ass. I'm not going to do it. I ain't going to do it. It's a small sample size. Are they a good football team? Yes. Is this a good defense? No question about it. But I'm not ready to crown them as a team that the Houston Texans can't be in a position to compete with in the fourth quarter. I'm not ready to crown them as a team that's just going to come in here, and because statistically they've had a pretty good two-game run here. Tim Kelly, who's been great offensively, is all of a sudden not going to be able to move the football because the Carolina Panthers are unbelievable. They're that good. They're not. The Texans aren't going to be able to protect the quarterback because the Carolina Panthers are this just that good in terms of where their sack numbers are at. I'm just not ready to crown them yet. I've watched the New Orleans Saints film a couple of times. I've watched bits and pieces of the New York Jets game that the Carolina Panthers played. And show, I don't see anything on film that I look at and I go, oh my, how are the Texans going to deal with this? As a defense, do they play? Are all 11 of them playing well together? Yes.
Even from the Davis Mills perspective?
Yes, yes. That's the perspective I'm coming from right now, knowing that the Texans have a rookie quarterback first start. It's going to be tough as hell. The NFL defenses are much more multiple. They're faster. They're bigger. They're more violent. I mean, it's gonna be a tough ass night for Davis Mills. I firmly believe that. But it's not. I don't believe that leading up to this game, that this should be a game that we look at and go, oh my gosh, this defense is just lighting the world on fire. It's a two game sample size.
Nothing they can do.
And when I watch the film, are they good? Yes, they're fast as hell. They're playing well together. But when I watch the film, they're whooping guys' ass. It's not. They're one-on-one beating guys, right? They are one-on-one off the edge beating the scheme. Not necessarily beating the scheme, right? And the only reason I say that is that I don't see a defense that is consistently rocking the safeties and belling the corners and moving the front and fanning the linebackers out to where they blitz off like a bunch of walking and moving around pre-snap. that's going to be unbelievably difficult for Davis Mills and Tim Kelly to understand or to quote-unquote process.
So it's like, it's almost – now, they could still whoop the Texans' ass like they've done against the Jets and the Saints, yeah. But for Davis Mills, it's not like the Steelers where there's a whole bunch of stuff that they're doing to confuse you in terms of how they blitz. This is more – I know what they're going to do. Now I just got to not get beat by right. what I'm seeing. I'm not going to be out there confused where I'm seeing ghosts like Sam Darnold
right.
was saying.
Bingo. Bingo. That's it. Like I don't think there's an overwhelming amount of concern that Tim Kelly and Davis Mills aren't going to know what the hell's happening. Which with some defenses that are multiple and move around a lot and do different things, disguise coverage, a lot of times that does happen. It's tough. It's just they never give you the same look. They're always moving around. You don't know who's blitzing, who's not. And I just don't consistently see that from this defense. Can they dial up blitzes? Absolutely. Are they good when they rush three or four? Absolutely. They're a good defense. But I don't look at this and go, oh, my God, how is a young quarterback going to figure this out? Now, I look at it and go, how the hell is Max Sharping going to block that down, that D-tackle that's kicking ass, right? I look at it and go, man, I know Marcus Cannon better get on his horse because them boys they got coming off
that's
the edge
the
are
speed.
Fast.
Hassan Reddick, yeah. Burns, those
yeah.
guys.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It's one of those things where, I don't know, I just hear a lot of talk, especially nationally, about how great Carolina is, and I'm just going, man, they're off to a good start, but, I mean, the Jets are they're –
They're
in a tough spot, the Jets are, and they've got a quarterback that's used to taking risk and has no problem holding the ball. The New Orleans Saints, their quarterback and their play caller have no problem holding the football and taking risk in the pocket. They've played two teams that, I mean, we can argue have played right into their hands of their speed on defense.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, is they've played two quarterbacks that you could see a game plan where you want to mix things up to try to confuse them. A rookie quarterback in Zach Wilson, and then
sure.
Jameis Winston kind of new to the system a bit and still, you know, this guy, if he sees stuff, maybe he throws
right.
interceptions. So it's not like they would probably do something special for Davis Mills. They're probably going to play the same way they've been playing and expect the same result.
Well, it goes back to, you know, Davis Mills needs to know where to go with the football and just get it out. Don't be afraid of missing a shot. This is very similar to when I played against the Giants. Right. When I played against the Giants, schematically, I knew they were going to play. They were a big zone team. They were going to play cover two or cover three. Right. And I knew that. And I had a really good beat on it. And I was 11 of 12 for 125 yards and a touchdown. And we were up two scores at halftime. I'm not going to tell you what happened after half. But in the first half, I knew exactly what they were going to do. They were a team that said, hey, everybody in America knows what kind of coverage we're going to play. But we got Big Strahan. We got Jesse Armstead. We got Will Allen. This is back when Jason Sehorn was still playing at a high level. They had some bad dudes on the defensive side of the football at all three levels that would just beat you man-to-man. They felt like one-on-one they could beat you. They didn't need to be out of position and fool you a scheme. And I look at this team in Carolina, it's very similar. They're not doing anything that's groundbreaking from a pressure standpoint. They're just simply beating guys one-on-one, and they may beat guys one-on-one, but what I'm saying from Davis Mills and Tim Kelly's perspective, it's easy to snap the football and go make a play and make a throw because you know where a helmet is. You got a helmet for a helmet. Let's go. So if those helmets get beat, so you can't control that.
So with that, you felt a lot more comfortable in that game, at least with knowing what you were going to do.
I knew when I snapped the football, if I got my drop and I laid the football on the side, they close the middle field, they go cover three, I get a soft corner, I'm going to throw the comeback to the wide side, I'm going to lay that ball. Strahan, if he's unblocked, he can't get to me in time.
So you weren't walking up to the line of scrimmage saying, oh, hell.
What are they doing? Who's coming? No, I didn't.
They didn't have that type of. And that's what you're seeing from the Panthers.
That's what I'm seeing from the Panthers. Now, they mix some things up, but I don't see – I have not seen them. Again, small sample size, so we don't really know exactly what we're going to get. But I haven't seen just a whole hell of a lot of man, I don't know how the Texans are going to schematically match up with this, right? When he snaps the football, he should have a pretty good idea where he's going with the ball. Now, if somebody loses immediately up front, that's on them. But I just don't see you know, a whole hell of a lot of things that they're doing that should create a bunch of free runners, right? Hey, slide the offensive line left. If the outside linebacker or the safety that's down to your right, if he comes, throw hot. If he doesn't, boom, get through your progression. It's really that easy. They don't do a bunch of rocking. They could, but I didn't see a bunch of that in the New Orleans game. So we'll see what happens there. I just don't know. I'm not as quick to crown Carolina as everybody else seems to be this year in the NFL so far. Blue 80, easy. White 90. Show, I was asked, you know, I'm doing a lot of SEC talk, a lot of Texas A&M Arkansas talk. It is Texas A&M Arkansas week, so all my non-Aggies out there, we'll take you. We'll take you over here on this Arkansas train, baby. It's hot, man. It's getting packed, but we got a few more spots in the building for you. Doing a lot of talk radio on the game, and so I was asked, you know, who has a better defense, Texas A&M or Arkansas?
Oh boy.
And as usual, I chose to do a little due diligence and just think through this a little deeper than, well, see, Texas A&M is the number one team versus a pass. They're the number one team in terms of scoring.
Shutout last week.
Sure. Right.
Giggum.
And so it's one of those where you go, well, statistically, A&M obviously 2 weeks into this thing is the better defense, right?
Butt coming.
You said a what?
I said I feel a butt.
Well, yeah, I don't want to ever discredit what's going on. It's a very small sample size. Those numbers will balloon when you get into SEC play. However, I took the approach, I like Arkansas's defense. Barry Odom, multiple fronts, moving, all that moving around I just talked about with Dave. They're going to do that versus a young quarterback and a young offensive line, and it causes major problems for those guys. Barry Odom's had a lot of success versus that type of player, young quarterback and experienced offensive line. You flip it on the other side and you go, okay, Arkansas is a run-dominant football team, and A&M, they're not as good against the run as they are in the other categories. They've struggled against the run, so to speak. So I'll take Arkansas's defense.
This ain't your heart?
No, it's not my heart. I'll bet on it. I'll put my money on it. It's not my heart. I'll bet on it.
You're making a lot of bets in this.
Yeah,
game.
No, I'll bet on it. I mean, I've seen enough. I've seen young quarterbacks, young offensive lines struggle against Barry Odom coach football teams, defenses, enough to put money on that A&M will struggle offensively. And I just simply said, in this matchup, I'll take Arkansas's defense. Mm-hmm. Boy, I am catching hell. So.
Catching hell, aren't you?
I am catching.
People don't like to argue with those numbers.
Huh?
People don't like to argue with those numbers.
Well, you know, well, somebody throws out the stat. They're giving up 5.7 points per game right now. The best team they've played is Colorado. Colorado is like – Colorado is 121 offensively in scoring. They're scoring 14 points a game. I mean, they really have – it's a very small sample size, 3 weeks, and they have not been challenged at all.
They'll be challenged this week.
They'll be challenged this week, not like they will throughout the SEC.
They'll be challenged in the run game. I mean, Arkansas is a good run team.
Yeah, but you're going to run – in the SEC, you're going to run into teams that throw it better, at least that we know can throw it better. KJ Jefferson and the Arkansas Razorback offense may come out of their shell and be able to throw it around a little bit. I just don't think it's a hands-down Texas A&M. I'm taking Texas A&M because they're allowing 5.7 points a game.
But I think specifically they'll be challenged in their run defense this week with Arkansas. I think Arkansas's run game – will be something they haven't seen anywhere close to.
I just thought I did.
Not,
I thought I put
it's not
a little,
an eye roll, Tyler. I'm just saying.
I thought I put a little extra time into it and had a good layout there, and I got hammered for it.
And to be fair, Arkansas will be challenged. This will easily be the best defense they've played against.
And to be fair, A&M. The Aggies returned 11 defenders, and they had the second best defense in the SEC last year.
I just said that. I said this. To be fair, Arkansas. Texas, who they play on their schedule, A&M will be the best defense they face. This will be the best.
Oh no, there's no question about that.
It's gonna be a good game.
It's gonna be a great game. Ooh, you taking Arkansas's defense or A&M's defense?
I'm gonna take A&M's defense.
Giggum.
All right, you want to bet which offense has more yards?
I don't want to. No,
let's bet which offense has more yards. Tyler, you want
to
put a bet on top of our bet and see which offense has more yards?
Absolutely. Yes.
Jeff Bagwell was fantastic with us yesterday. God, Tyler, why are you doing this?
Jeff Bagwell was
fantastic yesterday. And one of the only questions that the Astros have going into the postseason, he made Clint a believer in. Let's see if he'll do it for you. That's next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Stoerner and the show.
Oh, boy. I'm sorry. We're just having a little too much fun around here. Clint Stoerner and the show here with you. Jeff Bagwell, he spoke with us yesterday, and we had a lot of fun with him. If you missed it, check that Odyssey page and check the podcast page, and you can hear all the interviews we had yesterday. Craig Biggio, Andre Johnson, Jeff Bagwell, just to name a couple. But Jeff Bagwell spoke about one of, I'm going to say, small question marks that the Astros have as they go into the playoffs, as they go into the postseason, and that is center field. What should the Astros do about center field? Should they platoon? How should they handle it? This was him yesterday.
I think a lot of that's going to depend on the type of pitcher we're facing. If you're going to see a high fastball pitcher, say from Chicago, I think Myers plays. Somebody that throws breaking balls and down in the strike zone, you might see McCormick play. McCormick hits the ball down well, Myers hits the ball up. And I think Dusty will make a decision on those two guys who will play center field. The other thing that you have to have, and the most important thing is, because of our lineup, I need the center fielder to catch everything he's supposed to catch. I can't have anything fall in gaps and stuff like that that shouldn't. So whoever is the best player that's going to catch the ball, to me, is number one priority. The hitting is secondary.
That's Hall of Famer Jeff Bagwell. And listen, you weren't real keen when Dusty came to the table talking about this platoon potential, and I tried to get you ready for it. When he said that, they're going to do it. And he spoke more about, all right, you know, McCormick hits lefties better than Jake Myers does, and so when lefties are on the mound, McCormick will face them, and then when righties are there, Myers will face them, even though Jake Myers has some pretty good numbers against both.
They were better in both. Okay. They were better than Chaz in both.
Pretty good. You know, Dusty would probably say to you, oh, he's got more at-bats. But yep. But that part, you wasn't picking that up.
Not the way Dusty was explaining it, that's for damn sure. Here's the deal. Like, I need more than that to take a player out of rhythm, to take a hitter, you know, if he's hot, to take him out of the game or to never give him the opportunity to get in a rhythm because you're consistently shuffling the lineup. To me, that's valuable. To me, I want to be given that opportunity. And so when you come to me and go, oh, no, we're going to rotate center field, and the reasoning doesn't make sense, it's, and we're talking about baseball here. So when you're talking about a batting average, like a batting average is a batting average. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it and debating how it happened, why it happened. I mean, it is what it is. It's an individual stat, and if what you're saying, the numbers don't back up what you're saying, it's like,
if that's what you're basing it off of. Maybe if he came out and said, hard hit balls or something, but if you're basing it on average,
I'm not going to sit here and try to be smarter than Dusty. Hell, that ain't my gig. But I need more than, well, if somebody hits righties better than somebody else, well, the numbers don't say that. Like I don't know what we're talking about. Like, it's not the case. So I needed more than that. So to hear Bagwell say, well, one guy actually hits high heat better, the other one hits low off speed. So it depends on, okay.
That makes sense.
That I can understand. That I can make. I can wrap my head around and go, okay, you got a crafty lefty on the mound that his off speed.
You mean for the White Sox like Carlos Rodon? Or
well, I was going to go with the off speed, you know, off speed stuff. He, I mean, he can do it all. I mean, hell, he's in knee high 90s.
He can, but he throws off speed pretty well too. He was killing the.
Yeah, yeah, you get the point. I mean, either way it goes, is like I could see where a manager could go, hey, we're facing a guy today that specializes in low off speed pitches is what he goes to get his outs, to get his swing and misses. So we're gonna switch things up. Hey, I can get that. I can get down with that right there. I can't get down with, well, one guy hits righties better than lefties and vice versa, and then the numbers don't back that up. Like, I need a little bit more. And, you know, me and Jeff Bagwell got a lot in common. We see the game through the same lens. And you know, he just gave me a little something to lean on right there.
That's Carlos Rodon for those scoring at home.
What'd you say, Rendon?
Rendon. You know, yeah.
You, that Rodon, really, really, you really struggle with that one.
I really do. Thank you. Thank you for pointing that out. I tried to beat you to the punch. So, yeah, because I know you believed him. You hit him three times when he said
I hit him.
Oh, Clint, you were on him. Yeah, you got it. Like, that's it. And that's, I can tell you
okay,
got it.
Jeff,
that's
what I'm talking
about. I can get with that. I can get with it. See, I.
You think that bothered him?
No. Yeah, Jeff's fine. Jeff probably didn't feel it. But he probably didn't even feel your hits. But you got him a good two, three times on that. And then I said, oh, Clint really believe he's really feeling it.
I'm coachable. I'll listen, but I can't.
You're still not about the platoon. Like, you're still about Jake Meyers. Like, it should be for you still. I mean,
for me personally, yes. I don't think you gain enough of an advantage. Like, it would be hard for me to go, all right, there's enough. We're talking about major league hitters here. We're talking about what is Tyler, what is Jake Meyers? What's Jake Meyers' batting average right now? Right? I mean, we're talking about major league hitters, and I think that if a guy's got the hot hand, if he's the better player, if the sample size says he's the better player, taking him out of rhythm is a risk that I would not want to take.
He's been 267? That's dropped. Jake's dropped, but Dusty's not really giving him a lot of rhythm. Dusty's just running that lineup in and out. He's seemingly playing like three or four times.
Well, 267, based off of what I watched last night, you're still 30 points above average in Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
I mean, you're still swinging the bat pretty well. I don't know, but it's not even about one or the other. For me, it's like whoever's the best, according to Bagwell, the best fielder number one.
That's what I was going
to
say.
And then whoever you think is the best hitter, number two, give that guy a chance to be your everyday starter and go play ball. I don't like the platoon when you don't have to platoon.
See, I was going to go with Meyers with you because the final thing that he said is ultimately whoever is the best fielder out there with this lineup, we talked about that seven in front and the way that Kyle Tucker's swinging the bat, it's a legit-ass seven. You just need that guy to catch everything.
Yeah.
And to me, Jake Meyers is the best defender in center field, and that's why I think it should be him. It should be – unless there are numbers you see or an old dusty hunch with Chaz McCormick that, man, he's really had this guy's number. He's 5-for-10 against this guy or something with multiple home runs.
Yeah.
And then I want to get him out when I get a lead to get Meyers in.
If white boy Chaz hits off speed, low off speed pitches that well, then let his ass pinch hit for Maldonado in the ninth when you got somebody out there throwing low off speed for him. You know, that's kind of where I'm at with the deal. And if you got somebody that throws high heat, put Diaz out there. Diaz or Marwin Gonzalez off the bench. Those guys are your pinch hitters. I hear it. You know, we're talking about the eight-hole hitter here. It's not like we're talking about the meat of the lineup, and so it's really not a major issue to platoon center field, I don't think. But it is if I'm Jake Meyers or if I'm White Boy Chaz. I want to get some rhythm. I want to play these last. What do you got? 12 games left.
11.
I want to play these next 11 games, and I want to get in a rhythm, and I want to get in the playoffs, and I want to absolutely rake. I don't want to get pulled out every other game.
No, I hear you. I think it's Meyers. When he said the defensive part, that's where I agree with him. All right, Clint, let's talk about this because I think this is very, very important and one of the things that I'm most proud of being a part of Sports Radio 610, and that is with what this month is, which is National Suicide Prevention Month, what we're doing here, join us for our special programming of I'm Listening. It's a two-hour show featuring some of the biggest names in music and sports telling their stories about national suicide prevention.
That's right, man. It includes a couple of our own, man, Seth Payne and Cecil Shorts, who they've got some unique stories that they'll tell and some great stories that they'll tell, opening up about their struggle and their successes when it comes to mental health, dealing with mental health. Seth Payne and Cecil Shorts are powerful, man, in this setting.
Yes, it's this Friday at 8 o'clock right here on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. Please remember, man, you're not alone. As someone who has worked with at-risk youth for over a decade, I've run into cases, and these things, hearing other people's stories, can really be beneficial for those that are struggling. So reach out. Anybody you know that's struggling, even if you're not, it's a good listen and a good thing to learn things that maybe you weren't familiar with. For more info, go to imlistening.org. All right, listen, simply this. Is Nick Caserio, should he be to blame? Should he get some blowback for how this quarterback situation has shaken out? Should he have blowback for having Davis Mills, who appears not to be ready to be the starter, coming up on Thursday? We'll discuss that next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
Text line, you can chime in on the show's Army text line, 713-572-4610. I was hit with somebody on social media with this one, and I thought this could be a really good conversation for us, Clint. And that is, do you think that this is a mistake, that we should... or that maybe we're letting Nick Caserio off the hook for where the Texans are quarterback-wise. Right now, understanding the injury history, we talked about it. Hell, you said, what, how many games has Tyrod Taylor played in the last 3 years?
Four and three
years.
Not counting this year. That's coming into this year.
Understanding his injury history, do you think that we're letting Nick Caserio off the hook because of the quarterback situation that they're in, and now Davis Mills is rushed into being the starter now after two games?
No, I don't think so. I think it's part of the plan. I think the plan is a very fluid situation, obviously. I think when they drafted him, when they drafted Davis Mills in the third round with their most premium pick in the draft this past year, I think the plan immediately changed in terms of what how they were going to handle their quarterback situation. It made absolutely zero sense to draft Davis Mills in that third round and then bury him on your depth chart and make him an inactive quarterback for the entire 2021 season. To me, when they drafted him, now I don't know if that was the best available draft pick or if that was a plan all along.
Yeah, but it seemed like quarterback was the plan. We hear like they were looking at mine.
Different players, yeah. So either way it goes, I think they were – part of their plan is, hey, we're 3 years from competing. If we draft a quarterback, we can gamble at the quarterback position – with a veteran quarterback that either understands the dynamic of what we're trying to do here in Houston, which is find out who Davis Mills is eventually. He's going to split reps during training camp. He's going to get a ton of reps with the ones during training camp. He's going to get a ton of reps during the preseason. People are going to talk about him all over the city, about him getting starting reps when the season starts. We just need a veteran that's going to be able to weather that storm. Tyrod Taylor was that guy. I think the plan all along was to have Davis Mills as the number two and Tyrod Taylor as the number one. And I think all along they knew, hey, Tyrod Taylor's injury prone and odds are he's going to get injured, or there's a good chance he's going to get injured, and we're going to have to play this young kid maybe earlier than we expected. And I think they knew that was the plan. I think they've known all along, and I think they're A-OK with the way this thing's unfolded. Now, would they prefer Tyrod Taylor be in there and giving him a chance to win last week's game in the second half and give him a better chance to win this game? Sure. But I think it's part of the plan. And until I see that plan really backfire on him, I have a hard time viewing it through a negative lens, if you will.
That's the conversation we're having, 713-572-4610. You could text in, call in on that. Are we letting Nick Caserio, should there be more – blame, or so to speak, towards Nick Caserio for the quarterback situation they're in. It seems like to me Davis Mills, I don't think this is when they were ready for him to jump in there. I think they would like to have gotten more for him to see more. Yeah. I just think from this standpoint, Clint, there are mistakes made where the outcome turns out bad because, all right, eventually it was a mistake. That was the wrong move. But sometimes that was the wrong move. Just happens and you just lose because you lost. Like, if Dusty Baker tonight in a 2-1 game puts in Ryan Stanek in the ninth instead of Ryan Pressly and they lose 3-2, you're going to be sitting there thinking to yourself, the hell? He's got his closer. He's got his lights-out closer he didn't put in. You lost the game because you didn't do everything you could. Like, this is a bad mistake. If they go in and Ryan Pressly gives up the game 3-2, you're like, hey, you just lose some. I mean, that was the move. You understand the move. Yeah. You just lose some. To me here, you can understand the thought is, Tyrod Taylor, let him in there. We draft the quarterback. We want to see him eventually, and then we'll just have Tyrod in there. We don't know. We don't see ourselves being, you know, playoff competitive. We want, you know, the young guy in there, and we don't want some quarterback that we feel has to go in ahead of him. And then when we feel more comfortable with Davis Mills, then he can go in. It just backfired big time on him because it happened after six quarters. So you can see the plan and how that makes sense. It just didn't. It just kind of didn't work out the way that they, you know, they would have hoped. It just happened to be jump started a lot earlier than they wanted to.
Yeah, I think there's you know, I at this point in time, and you're one of a rebuild. You gotta gauge, like, the priorities here. And we've heard Nick Caserio talk about process versus outcome. And we here in the media and a lot of the fan base, we're so outcome driven in terms of win or loss that sometimes we can't see the forest for the trees, right? It does no good for this organization in year one of a rebuild to have Tyrod Taylor as your starter and say RG3 is your number two and Davis Mills is your number three, right? And now you got Davis Mills not getting any reps because RG3 is the two getting the reps. And now you've basically just you've solidified the season at the quarterback position and pretty much confirmed that Davis Mills is not going to get any reps at all unless you say, hey, Tyrod, or hey, RG3, y'all got to sit y'all's tail down so Davis Mills can play. I think it's a risk that they were willing to take, and knowing that if Tyrod did get hurt, it would not be a panic mode. It would not be a failure. It would not. They don't view it that way. They view it as, all right, happened a little earlier than we'd probably like, but let's get out there and play some ball and let the young fella grow and see where he's at. I just don't, you know, if Davis Mills goes out there for three or four games and just completely wets the bed and is overwhelmed. I'm not talking about struggle. He's going to struggle. There's no question about that. I'm talking about go out there for three or four weeks and just completely come apart.
Put himself in danger, put others.
The whole thing. I mean, just if it is just if it ends up like the second half of the Tampa Bay game where it's just throwing the ball into trouble, holding the ball too long, trying to make plays on every throw. You know, if he does that for four games and net things don't sink in and you don't see progress, then we can look back and say, hey, the plan worked out because now they know they got to go in a different direction. But that draft pick was borderline suspect, right? Right now, I don't have a – I love the plan of draft a quarter – if you're going to draft a quarterback, I love the plan of get him in camp, get you a veteran you can bank on, get him in camp, give him reps. Right now, they're geniuses. Right now, the way they've handled it, it's been borderline genius because they gave the kid a ton of reps. He wasn't holding a clipboard.
But do you think he's ready to do you think he's ready to play right now?
I mean, what is ready?
Like if you had a better backup, you said RG3. You had a better backup quarterback. It's RG3 who's the other quarterback instead of Jeff Driscoll. Like, would you play RG3 more and not put in Davis Mills yet because
if I went that direction, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if I decide, if that was part of my plan and I had David, I mean, I had RG3 in camp all year long and Davis Mills was my three, then yes, right now I would play RG3 and I would, now I don't know how Davis Mills has done the last 2 weeks. I don't know what their comfort level is with Davis Mills at this point in time. I'm assuming that it's better than we think because they didn't have a plan with anybody else, right? But if I had another veteran quarterback, had I made the plan to go 1-2-3 and have RG3 as the two and Davis Mills as the three, then I would move forward with RG3 and put Davis Mills in the game down the road when need be. But that's not, you know, that's just not what their plan obviously was. And I'm just not willing at this point in time, show, to say, well, Nick Caserio screwed this up, because we ain't seen Davis Mills in a regular season ball game yet, right?
Except for the second half of
Yeah. I'm talking about where he preps as the starter. He's the dude. He gets reps all year long. Yeah, we just haven't seen – we hadn't seen that yet. And you know, it may be 2 or 3 weeks before we go, hey, man, this kid is getting better, or, hey, he's regressing. He's not – I mean, he's not getting any better at all. And so I'm just not ready yet to say, oh, this plan ain't going to work. I like the plan. Once they decided – I would not have drafted a quarterback in the third round. Make that clear. But once they decided to draft a quarterback in the third round, then you're committed. You're pot committed at that point in time. He's got to be at least on the two deep. You know what I mean? Like you can't draft a quarterback in the third round, your most premium pick, and then go, yeah, we're going to bury him on the depth chart and see. We're going to find out what he can do 3 years into this rebuild. No, that don't even make sense. You're in the middle of a rebuild, right? You're at the beginning of a rebuild. Like there's some things that you just got to accept and move on, and playing a young quarterback before he's quote unquote ready, maybe. Hey, well, that's part of the plan. That's part of the deal.
713-572-4610. The show's Army text line is about to set Clint off. Hey, Clint, he's not ready. It's clear. And you had guys like Blaine Gabbert and Cam Newton that are out there that could be better options to play before he's ready.
Okay. I mean, I don't know what to tell. Like, I don't know anymore what ready means. Like, young quarterbacks can play with a good play caller. They can play. You pare things down. You put good players around them. You call good. You know, the plan needs. But there's being ready is. Now some guys just don't have it, and when you don't have it, they say, "Oh well, maybe he wasn't ready." Well, no, he just didn't have it. Like he just didn't have it. Like if he goes out there and continues to force balls into coverage and take a bunch of risks with the football, like he just don't get it.
He don't have it.
Like you got to get through your progression and check the football down. Like you got to take less risk with the football.
Like you've been around guys that they've been as ready as possible. They've gotten as many reps as possible.
Yeah.
But they got in that game and they just wasn't ready.
They were going gunslinging. Just not ready. The whole Cam Newton thing. I mean, you got to be. It's not even. They don't even make sense. Like on the surface, Cam Newton, you know, put him in an offense, run, you know, a lot of the run game stuff, make the run game better. But you don't just bring that guy in here and then throw him into a game in a week or 10 days.
Well, now it doesn't make sense. I think it's you're a couple weeks away now, and then Tyrod Taylor would be probably close to being back and ready when Cam was probably able to go back in the game and start playing.
Yeah, it's just show just like that. Just I would personally rather have Davis Mills before he's ready. I would rather have Davis Mills, the position the Texans are in, no doubt about it. I would rather have Davis Mills than Cam Newton or Blaine Gabbert for damn sure, or RG3. Or I would rather have Davis Mills playing so I can find out who the hell he is and what I got. That's the fact of the matter.
I can't get behind the Blaine Gabbert.
That's all interesting. Right. That's an interesting choice.
Clint Sterner, Ron, the show, Tyler Milner producing this. And Tyler is, God, he's being sucked in. He really is. Clint's got this man now, I believe, for two bets.
Hey!
He's got this man for two bets. And people on the text line are wondering, what's the latest bet? They didn't really get and understand it about the defenses, because you believe Arkansas's defense is going to have a better day.
I feel like every A&M conversation I have, everybody's leaning real hard on this defense and telling me how good they are. They're a good
five
defense.
5 points a game, Clint.
Well, that's fine. They're a good defense. I'm not saying they're not. I believe that the conversation of what defense right now would you take, Arkansas's defense or A&M's defense, I believe that's a good, solid conversation. And every time I talk about it, I'm getting hit like I'm a fool for even putting Arkansas in the
conversation.
I'm putting Arkansas in the conversation. So, hey, I tell you what, we'll do this. Pretty simple. Whichever defense gives up the most yards on Saturday.
Okay. Total yards.
Total yards. Total yards. I got Arkansas's defense. You got A&M's defense.
Wrecking crew, baby.
That's fine. Amp yourself up in there. Amp yourself up in there.
What?
Right? Well, I mean, so, and this is, I mean, I'm over here making these bets with the number seven team in the country, by the way. I mean, not, and they ain't just their number seven in the country. This is, they finished top five last year.
They have been dropping in the polls.
They dropped consistently.
They stayed the same this past week. But that was, you tried. That was close.
They were five and they've dropped to seven. But nonetheless, I mean, I'm over here talking about a top 10 team that's been in the top 10 for the last
2 years.
Yeah. No, not 2 years. Come on. Let's
not last year and this year?
Yeah, well, they've been 2 years. About 8 months here. They've been top five team, top 10 team. And so I'm staring uphill now. What's the bet? This is just cold turkey.
Let's get this right. So first,
I got Arkansas. He's got A&M with whoever's defense gives up the most point, most yardage. We're talking yardage.
This is the second bet because you're giving him 5 points, right?
Five and a half. Yeah, and give him that hook.
For a big bottle.
He's giving me the hook for a $150 bottle. Mine's Clase Azul. His is
who knows. Have you come up with anything?
Yes, I have. It's going to be Basil Hayden's, aged about 10 years.
Basil Hayden 10.
10-year bottle.
I got that in the pocket. I got that in the account.
So we're going to, and that's 5.5.
I get 5.5
points.
Not
even straight up. Come on, man.
It's the number seven team in the country. Let's go, man.
I'm looking out for
him.
You can't
doing
be
this?
The seven team in the country and not want to give points.
I just
don't need those points, Sho.
I think you're getting, you're getting pressured, man. But this is easy, man. He could just come in and just get you. He's not even trying, and he's lured you in. You're going to be in for another bet. I bet you're going to have 3 or 4 more bets with this cat.
Most likely.
What's the bet for?
Let's do this. Since we're already both putting a $150 bottle on the line.
That's a bad idea.
Let's go a little more just kind of a shot at the pride. Let's say whoever loses this bet has to wear the opposing school's shirt on the following Monday for the entirety of our show.
I mean, if you're going to make a bet, let's make a bet. Let's do some childish stuff.
I don't like that.
That's stupid. Come on,
I mean, I don't want to wear anything but maroon. That would legit piss me off.
I don't really like that.
Okay.
If I were to get caught in Aggie uniform, I'd lose half my damn.
That's a good point.
Half my Razorback fan base.
Text into the show's Army text line 713-572-4610. Give us some bet ideas, because that's just not good enough. You can't go.
Where's your idea, Sho?
I can come up with something better than that.
I got
you. Well, come up with it.
I'm thinking. I'll send it into the show's Army text line. But please, let's use the people. The people have good ideas. They have better ideas than that, and everyone knows it. Somebody coming at your drink request and says it's horrible.
Hey,
well, that person clearly probably doesn't have taste buds.
I know this much.
It tastes probably drink Bud Light.
I really feel good about my bets.
Well, I know you.
Really feel good about my bets.
The way that you're slickly suckering it into him, and like he's just going to be.
I mean, I really like the scheme behind it. Like I feel really. It may not work out. But I'm just I really the more I think about it, I'm like, yeah, man, this defense at Arkansas is multiple. They go 3-3-5. They bring a lot of pressure. Their linebackers are their best players. They got a great defensive line this year, which they typically don't. And they got 4 offensive linemen there replacing a young quarterback. Man, we can bottle up the run and yeah.
Right.
I think
here it is from the text line. Loser shaves their eyebrows. Clint's not gonna do anything.
I ain't shaving my eyebrows.
from the text line, loser wears a wrestling singlet for the entire show.
That'd be uncomfortable, man.
That sounds like
show.
Sounds
show
like
would
a
be staring
right
at
there.
My piece, man.
That sounds like a winner.
Show would be staring at my
How
package,
you think
man.
I'm staring at your penis.
I said penis.
I'm not staring at your penis. Is what I'm not staring at. All right, coming up, the Texans injury report is out, and it's not good. And this secondary is in shambles. That's the best way to explain it. That's next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.